Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, these NBA playoffs, man, this week they have been on fire. Some great games we've had this week. And the Eastern Conference semifinals, they are already shaped out. So I'll be giving you my predictions on those matchups. And then we have one matchup set in the Western Conference, but we're still waiting on another one. So let's get right into some NBA playoff talk. Let's just go ahead and talk about what happened in the first round this week and who has moved on and really just what happened. So let's start with the Boston Celtics versus the Brooklyn Nets matchup. And game four was earlier this week, and Boston ended up getting the win, 116 to 112, and they got the clean sweep of the Brooklyn Nets. And man, like, that game four, they honestly, this entire series, like the first two games, it looked like the Nets gave a damn. But then as the series wore on, you could just tell that Boston was just frustrating the hell out of KD. I mean, they really that's probably the best I have ever seen Kevin Durant be defended at any point in his career during the playoffs. Like, they really just – they just – were killing him with double teams and defenders. And so basically they put everything else on the rest of the team, and nobody else was able to step it up. And like I said in the previous episode, you really got to give it up to Boston. They really won this series. They're a good team. They're definitely going to be a force going into this next, going into the conference semifinals and even further beyond. I wouldn't be shocked if this team ended up making the NBA finals, because they're that good. But Brooklyn is just a pathetic-ass team, and it's really pathetic that they haven't been able to capitalize at all. You know, when they first formed, you would think that they would at least be, they would have been decent, because, I mean, Kevin Durant is one of the best players in the league, and has been for quite some time, and Kyrie Irving has been one of the best point guards in the league. Now, he does have some, you know, personality issues where, over the last couple of seasons, I myself question whether he even really gives a shit about basketball or his team or his teammates. So, I mean, I could tell that he's not as committed, but I mean, as far as the way he plays on the court, he is a good player. And he's won a championship as well. So it's like when you've got two championship level players together, you would think that they actually would have been a lot better than they had been when they first started out. But basically, you know, they've just been, a dumpster fire, basically. They haven't done shit, really. Now we'll see what happens with them going into next season. But the Brooklyn Nets have definitely been one of the biggest disappointments, I would say, in NBA history, just because, I mean, they had high expectations going in, and they really did not give Boston any... I mean, like I said, the first two games, it looked like they came to play. But as this series wore on, you could just tell that mentally the Nets were getting beat. And I didn't question Kevin Durant, like his win, the way he plays, or, you know, I mean, like I said, this was the best defense that's ever been played for him, on him, during the playoffs. But everybody else around him, I mean, it's not only just Kyrie, but I mean, their bench is pretty old. They've had to battle through injuries all season long. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see where Brooklyn goes, especially going into next season. But their season is done, and they were the only team in the first round to get swept, which is even more pathetic because, I mean, hell, even, you know, teams like the Raptors in Atlanta and hell, even the Pelicans. These are teams that you really didn't expect to even get one win, and a lot of them, especially like the Pelicans, they made it a series against Phoenix, against the number one seed in the Western Conference, hell, in the league. So, give it up to Boston. They killed it. We'll see where they go. But Brooklyn, what a fucking disappointment they were. All right, and then moving on to the Toronto Raptors versus the Philadelphia 76ers. matchup, you know, in game five. Toronto actually had a really good game. They ended up getting the win 103-88. And you actually started to question, is this Joel Embiid injury really going to be a big deal? Because he did not, they had him. He was just having a horrible game. And you could tell just the injury was bothering him. But then in game six, Philadelphia bounced back, 132-97 win. And they go on to win the series and move on to the conference semifinals. And that game, they actually did show up. I mean, hell, even the starters actually were able to be benched in the fourth quarter because they had such a high lead going into it. So they did end up getting the win. They did end up winning the series, and they now have moved on to the conference semifinals. We'll see what happens with Joel Embiid. You could tell that that thumb injury, it could be a big deal, especially if they if they're going up against a good defender, good defensive team, which they're going up against the Miami Heat, which aren't that great of a defensive team. But, you know, if they end up facing like Giannis or the Boston Celtics in the next round, that thumb injury could end up being an issue for Embiid. But hey, I will give it up to James Harden. Usually I spend the playoffs mocking how horrible he is during the playoffs. But he actually, especially in game six, he was basically the reason why they won that game. He actually had a great game. So shout out to him for finally stepping it up during the playoffs. All right, and let's move on to the Atlanta Hawks versus the Miami Heat series. Game five, Miami ended up closing it out, and they have moved on to the conference semifinals. They got the win 97-94. It looked like Atlanta was trying to make it a game, but overall, they just didn't have it. I mean, all they really have in Atlanta is Trae Young. They definitely need to get him some other players because, you know, Trae Young is he's one of the top point guards in the league. So you don't want to waste that guy's career. And he's already, you could tell when playoff time rolls around, that's his time. So you really need to get him, I'd say, at least one more star player to play along with him. They could be a good team. But unfortunately, they ran into Miami Heat, who've been playing excellent basketball. And in game five, Jimmy Butler didn't even play. He ended up getting scratched late due to an injury. But Oladipo stepped it up. He finally had his breakout game, which was perfect timing. And Miami ended up getting the series win 4-1 in that one. And then last in the Eastern Conference first round was the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Chicago Bulls. And game five of Milwaukee won 116-100. It was absolute dominance from them from start to finish. Milwaukee moves on to the conference semifinals, and they won that series 4-1. And I mean, really, Giannis, he this first round, he has just been on fire. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in this series against Boston. But I'll get to that here in a bit. But Giannis, he is on fire. It does suck that they ended up losing Chris Middleton. He was out for the last game against Chicago, but he's already been ruled out for the conference semifinals. So, and he's a big part of their team too. Like, he's basically their second best player on the team, and you know, he was a huge reason why they won last year. So we'll see how that injury affects them in the next round. All right, moving on to the Western Conference first round, we had the Utah Jazz versus the Dallas Mavericks. Game five, Dallas ended up trouncing Utah 102-77. And then in game six, it was a little bit closer, but Dallas ended up getting the win 98-96. And Dallas has moved on to the Western Conference semifinals. They ended up winning the series 4-2. And, you know, Luka came back, and Luka's looking great. And both of those games, especially game five, actually, that's why they kicked so much ass, is because he just had an electric game. But also in game six, he was a huge factor as well. So it's been good to see him back. And, you know, Utah, we'll see what happens with Utah. I kind of have a feeling Utah is going to end up, they're going to look a little bit different next year. I have a feeling they're going to end up having to choose between Gobert and Mitchell, just because those two have had issues with each other the last couple of seasons. You could tell they don't really gel well. And so you got to move on from one of them, and it's sounding like that it's going to end up being Mitchell who they move on from. So we'll see what happens in Utah next season, but Dallas is moving on to the Western Conference semifinals. Then the Phoenix Suns versus the New Orleans Pelicans. Game five, Phoenix had a dominating win, 112-97. And then game six was last night, and they had another solid win, 115-109. And actually, the Pelicans were leading the majority of the way, but then the fourth quarter came on. And Chris Paul, man, this dude, he is an ageless wonder. You know, he's right up there where it's just like, wow, how can he still be playing at this great level? I mean, because Chris Paul, I've had respect for him since he was playing at Wake Forest. And everybody who he plays with, as a matter of fact, I've always been pissed off because he was supposed to be a Laker years ago. You know, that botched trade where the league just stepped in and said, no, he can't go to the Lakers. And he ended up going to the Clippers and wasting away there. But you know, I have mad respect for Chris Paul. And just last night, you could tell he was like, I am winning this game. I believe he made 14 straight shots in a row. Which hasn't happened in the NBA, I think, since like 1997 or something like that. so he's really just turned it on, and you could tell he wanted to win. Devin Booker's back. He made a huge 3-point shot last night to basically pull the game away for Phoenix. And they ended up getting the win, and now they've moved on to the Western Conference semifinals. I will say, shout out to the New Orleans Pelicans, just because they made this a series. And I don't even think they made it a series because of the Booker injury. They made it a series. They gave it their all. And that was just, that was a great performance by a team that totally could have just laid down. And when you look at a team, like you compare them to like the Brooklyn Nets or even the Lakers this season, it's like you look at the Pelicans, you're like, damn, you guys really wanted to win. And and they really just stepped it up and played an excellent series against the number one seed. And, you know, when I picked the Phoenix Suns to win that series, I didn't expect the Pelicans to get a win. And they ended up really making it an excellent series. But Phoenix ended up moving on, and now they are on to the Western Conference semifinals. Then Golden State Warriors versus the Denver Nuggets. Game five, Golden State closed that shit out, 102-98, and ended up winning the series 4-1. And Denver basically got dominated this entire series. They did make the last game kind of competitive. They did make Golden State have to work for it. But, I mean, honestly, there really wasn't a doubt that Golden State was moving on to the next round in Game 5. So they are now on to the Western Conference semifinals. And then the last first-round matchup in the Western Conference. First round, Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Memphis Grizzlies. In Game 5, Memphis got the win, 111-109. It was a great game. It was back and forth, especially at the end there. Ja made some great, great plays. Like, he had this great dunk, and then he had the game-winning layup to get the win. And, you know, they've got they're the only game left in the first round. They have Game 6 tonight. So we'll see if Memphis can close it out or if we're going to a Game 7 in that matchup. But, yeah, Ja Morant, he's been making some big plays. But so is Karl Anthony Towns on the other side of the ball. So yeah, we'll see how that series ends tonight, or if it ends tonight. So let's go ahead and talk about the Eastern Conference semifinal matchups. First, we've got the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. And actually, all my predictions so far have, I've been, what am I, 6-0, 7-0, whatever. I've picked all the teams correct so far in the, at least in the NBA first round. So I did have this matchup already originally. I'm going to go ahead and stick with Milwaukee, even though, Boston's definitely going to be a force. And the Middleton injury, this comes, I think, at probably the worst time for the Bucks, just because the Celtics, they're a damn good defensive team, and they're probably going to key in on Giannis. And so it's pretty much going to be on him to win it all. Not that he can't do it. But I definitely think the Bucks' experience is going to outweigh what the Celtics have going on at this current point in time. But I still think it's going to be a great series. And I think it's going to go the full length. I think it's going to go 7 games. But I've got Milwaukee moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then the second matchup in the Eastern Conference semifinals, Philadelphia 76ers versus the Miami Heat. And, yeah, this one I think is going to be a good matchup as well. I think the 76ers, though, I just think they're a better team. And I think just the factor of Joel Embiid is the deciding factor. And if this thumb injury continues to hamper him, it is going to be an issue. Especially because, you know, James Harden, he's known to disappear in the playoffs at some point. While he had a good first round, who knows what this round's going to hold. So they're definitely going to need him to step up for sure. But I do think the 76ers are the better team. Miami's playing great basketball. They play great team basketball. And Jimmy Butler, man, he had a great first round as well. So, but I do think the 76ers, they play better on defense. And they're just a better all-around team. I think they're a little bit deeper as well. And just like I said, Joel Embiid, he's playing at such a high level. You could tell he really wants a championship. And I've got the 76ers moving on and beating the Miami Heat in 6 games in that matchup. And then in the Western Conference semifinals, the only matchup we have set right now are the Phoenix Suns versus the Dallas Mavericks. And I've got Phoenix moving on in this one just because they have way more experience. They have much more depth. And like I said, with Chris Paul, you could tell this guy wants his championship. He's been working so damn hard. It's about the only thing missing from his resume is a championship. And so I think he's definitely going to be a deciding factor. I think they'll win this series in 6 games. Just because Dallas is a really good team. They're great on the defensive side of the ball, so they probably will frustrate the Suns in a couple of games. But overall, the Suns are the best team in the league, and I can't pick against them, especially just because I think the Dallas Mavericks still have some growth to do, and I feel like this matchup is going to be one of those kind of matchups where they just barely, they fall short, and it helps them become a better team next season. And then so we have the Golden State Warriors sitting here waiting to see who wins the Memphis Grizzlies versus Minnesota Timberwolves matchup. We'll see what happens there. I'll make my prediction on that matchup when it becomes final. I imagine on the Monday show is when, because I kind of expect the Grizzlies to close it out tonight, but hey, you never know. But regardless, we'll see what happens, who Golden State will be facing. But whoever they face, you got to watch out for Golden State. They are playing some excellent basketball right now, and they got the championship experience, so we'll see what happens there. All right, and then last night, the first round of the NFL draft started, and it was a very interesting draft. I mean, usually there's always these big names you're looking for, and there's always this list of at least like 5 quarterbacks where you're like, who's going to go one? And that's not the way it turned out this year. It was actually pretty, the first 5 picks were on defense, which I don't think has happened since the 90s. And that's very rare. I mean, very, very rare, especially in these offensive times. But also at the same time, you need some defense to stop this offense that's going off. But some interesting trades happened last night too. So before I go over the first round, let's talk about these trades. The first one being the Tennessee Titans ended up trading their top receiver, AJ Brown, to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now this is a great move by the Philadelphia Eagles. It actually really pisses me the fuck off because thank God the Cowboys have loaded up on defense this offseason because they're going to need it, especially against this team. AJ Brown is one of the best receivers in the league. He's damn good. So the Eagles are getting a great, great trade out of this, especially because, you know, if you look at it compared to the draft, well, there's a lot of great rookies available in the draft to you. You already know that AJ Brown's an excellent wide receiver, and he makes Ryan Tannehill look like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So they're getting a great receiver, and I'd much rather take my chances with him than with a rookie. So that was a great move by them. But you got to question what the hell's going on with the Titans. I mean, AJ Brown, like, that is, don't get me wrong, Derrick Henry, he's your offense, but at the same time, so was AJ Brown. I think they were both very equal parts of why that offense was so good. So I think this is a huge downgrade for the Titans, and we'll see what they do. But I don't think whatever they do, I don't think it's going to be in comparison to losing AJ Brown. So I think that was a bad move by the Titans. And then the other trade we had, which was very interesting to me, was the Baltimore Ravens traded Marquise Hollywood Brown to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, for the Cardinals, that's a great move because Hollywood Brown, he's not, I wouldn't really call him a true number one receiver. He's kind of like in between, where I feel like if, say, like A.J. Brown was another receiver on his same team, I think Hollywood Brown would complement them well. But so in Arizona, I think he's going to work out well just because he's not going to be technically the main receiver, really the main source of offense. But for the Ravens, what the hell are y'all doing? I've been always wondering with the Ravens, especially the last couple of seasons, like, what are they doing at the receiver position? Because Lamar Jackson is obviously one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. I love Lamar Jackson. I love watching his game. And he's just something different that the league hasn't seen in a long ass time. I'd say since Michael Vick. That's probably the best comparison to him, is that I think he's a much better passer than Michael Vick, a much better decision maker than Michael Vick on the field and off the field. and he's got that great instinct of when he should and shouldn't run. Obviously the running puts him at risk for injuries, but just, I mean, you got to play with that reckless disregard, you know, basically, when you're that type of quarterback. So I've always thought it was weird that they won't go after a really good receiver, and then now they trade away Hollywood Brown, who was their best receiver, and they haven't really done anything to replace him. So we'll see what they're doing in the offseason. Maybe they're trying to go after some other receivers, or in the free agency market, or maybe they've got a trade that they're trying to go through, try and work out. Maybe they're in the Deebo Samuel market. I don't know. But that was a very, very odd move by the Ravens, because they could use all the offense that they need. But we'll see what happens there. So I'll go ahead and just kind of do a rundown of all the first-round picks last night. Starting with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we really didn't have many shakeups either. Like, usually they're other than those two trades that I mentioned, there's always seems to be somebody who moves up really high or trades back even further. And there were a few trades, but they weren't like major trades last night. So starting off with the first pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars, they ended up going with the defensive end out of Georgia, Trayvon Walker. Then the Detroit Lions went with Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end out of Michigan. Then the Houston Texans ended up going with Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback out of LSU. The New York Jets ended up going with Sauce Gardner, the cornerback out of Cincinnati. And I think he's the best cornerback in the draft this year. One of the best defensive players as well. There was a couple guys on here that really stood out to me, and he was definitely one of them, along with Aiden Hutchinson as well. But I mean, he's going to Detroit, so it's kind of like, is his career going to kind of dwindle away there? Because it is the Lions, and you can't really count on the Lions. So he'll probably be successful up there. He's definitely going to be a hit because he already went to Michigan, so that's just going to bring in a big fan base. But back to Sauce Gardner, he is an excellent player. We'll see what he could do for the Jets. You know, the Jets have a lot of holes to fix. But I definitely was looking at Sauce Gardner as one of the best players in the draft this year. Then at number five, the New York Giants went with Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end out of Oregon. Really hot guy, by the way. That was what I noticed most when I saw him on camera. I was like, oh, hey, what's up, Kayvon? Then number six, Carolina Panthers ended up going with Ikem Ekwonu. He is an offensive tackle from NC State. And I just thought this was weird because even though it's not a big quarterback draft this year, out of all the teams that need a quarterback left right now, the Carolina Panthers, they haven't done much to try and solve their quarterback situation. So I'm really wondering what the hell is going on with them. And I'm not saying that their pick is a bad pick. Actually, he's a great offensive lineman, and they definitely needed help on the offensive line. But I really have been questioning what the Panthers are going to do. And hell, you don't know. They might end up picking because Malik Willis, the second best quarterback, second highest rated quarterback in this year's draft, he's still out there. So, I mean, maybe they kind of already knew he was going to fall, and maybe they'll go after him with their second pick. But I was really shocked that they went with the offensive line over a quarterback. Then the New York Giants, they selected at number seven. They went with offensive tackle Evan Neal from Alabama. Then the Atlanta Falcons went with Drake London, the wide receiver out of USC. Then the Seattle Seahawks went with Charles Cross, the offensive lineman out of Mississippi State. I found this pick kind of ironic because basically the last couple of seasons that they had, the Seahawks had with Russell Wilson, his main complaint was offensive line, and they almost always refused to get him help on the offensive line. And yet this season they went ahead and drafted an offensive lineman, even though Russell Wilson no longer plays for them. So I found that kind of odd. Then at number 10, the New York Jets went again. They went with Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. Then the New Orleans Saints went with Chris Olave, another wide receiver out of Ohio State. Then the Detroit Lions went with Jameson Williams, another wide receiver, this time out of Alabama. So you see, we had a lot of wide receivers selected last night. So that you had your pick of the litter, but and I'm not done either. A couple more got selected after these guys. Then the Eagles at number 13 selected Jordan Davis, defensive tackle out of Georgia. Then at number 14, the Baltimore Ravens picked up Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame. This was another one of my favorites in the draft. I was actually kind of hoping he was going to fall to the Cowboys because the Cowboys definitely could use some help in the secondary. They actually had a couple of spots that they could go. But as I saw him falling, I was like, damn, that'd be great if they could get him. Because in my opinion, he was also right up there with Sauce Gardner as one of the best one of the best secondary guys in the league. But when Baltimore came up, I was kind of like, he seems like a Baltimore dude. So I was not shocked that they ended up picking him with their 14th pick. Then with the 15th pick, the Houston Texans went with Kenyon Green, guard out of Texas A&M. The Washington Commanders went with Jahan Dotson, wide receiver out of Penn State. Then the Chargers went with Zion Johnson, guard out of Boston College. Tennessee Titans went with Treylon Burks, a wide receiver out of Arkansas. I guess they believe he's going to be the replacement for A.J. Brown. Good luck with that. Then at 19, the New Orleans Saints went with Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle out of Northern Iowa. Then at 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they went with the first quarterback selected in this draft and the only one in the first round selected in this draft, which is just so rare these days. But they went with Kenny Pickett, quarterback out of Pittsburgh. I'm not really shocked that they ended up going with him. It was basically between him and Malik Willis. And I had a feeling they'd lean towards Pickett just because he went to Pittsburgh. So, I mean, you know they got people on Pittsburgh players always. So I wasn't shocked that they ended up going with him. I don't really expect him to start this year. I kind of expect that to go to Mitchell Trubisky. But they're very similar type quarterbacks as well. So if Trubisky ends up getting injured, hey, you got Kenny Pickett, and he's basically the same style of quarterback. Then at 21, the Kansas City Chiefs went with Trent McDuffie, cornerback out of Washington. The Green Bay Packers went with Quay Walker, linebacker out of Georgia. I thought that was kind of odd that they didn't go offense on that, especially since they lost Devontae Adams, their top receiver. But okay, there they go. But Quay Walker, he is a good linebacker. So they did lose a couple defensive players this season. So, I mean, you can't really pass up a good player like that. Then at 23, the Buffalo Bills went with Kyir Elam, the cornerback out of Florida. Then at 24, my Dallas Cowboys went with Tyler Smith, offensive tackle out of Tulsa. I am happy with that pick. They definitely needed either offensive line, wide receiver, or either linebacker or secondary help. And so to see them get one of the top offensive linemen in the draft this season, I'm happy with that because they definitely need some help on the offensive line, and they also need to now start thinking about the future because Tyron Smith, they're all pro offensive lineman on the other side of the line. He is probably going to be retiring here in the next couple of seasons, and he's always injured, so we're going to need some help on this offensive line, and so I like this pick with Tyler Smith. Then at number 25, the Baltimore Ravens went with Tyler Linderbaum, center out of Iowa. Then at 26, the New York Jets went with Jermaine Johnson II, defensive end out of Florida State. Then the Jacksonville Jaguars went with Devin Lloyd, linebacker out of Utah. Then the Green Bay Packers went with Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle out of Georgia, another defensive player and not on offense. Then at 29, the New England Patriots went with Cole Strange, guard out of Chattanooga. Then Kansas City Chiefs went with George Karlaftis, defensive end out of Purdue. Then the Cincinnati Bengals went with Daxon Hill, safety out of Michigan. And then rounding out the draft at the 32nd pick, the Minnesota Vikings went with Lewis Seen, the safety out of Georgia. And so we've got more draft today and tomorrow. And I think, what is it? Today is the second and third round. And then tomorrow will be the fourth through the sixth round. But usually these next 2 days are just not that these players aren't important. Of course they're important, but it's not as exciting usually as the first night. And then we had a couple of things go on in baseball this week. Anthony Rizzo, man, he is on fire for the Yankees right now. He actually ended up having 3 home runs in one game against the Baltimore Orioles earlier this week. And then we had something basically that's only happened once ever in baseball history. The last time this happened was in 1958 with Roger Maris when he played for the New York Yankees. But Taylor Ward, outfielder for the Los Angeles Angels, and you know, who the hell's heard of Taylor Ward? I actually just happened to pick him up like the day before he did this on one of my fantasy baseball teams. Of course, I left him on my bench though, because I'm like, who the fuck is Taylor Ward? I just knew he had really good stats. And I had one of my players go on the injured list, so I went ahead and picked this guy up. And looks like I'm probably going to end up hanging on to him for the rest of the season. And hell, he may end up being a keeper. Who the hell knows? But earlier this week, he went 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs, 1 home run, 1 triple, and 1 double. And that has never happened. That, like I said, that's only happened 2 times now in the history of Major League Baseball. And he ended up getting a double, a triple, a grand slam, and had 4 plus runs. Nobody's ever done that since Roger Maris. So I found that very noteworthy. And also, the Angels are one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They're on a 5-game winning streak. And, you know, part of the reason why is not only because of him, but Trout's on fire right now. Shohei Ohtani's on fire. I told you, the Angels ain't nothing to fuck with this year. I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the league this year. And so far, they're starting the season off right. You know, I just talked about Anthony Rizzo having the 3 home runs for the Yankees. Well, he's not the only Yankee doing great right now. Yankees are on a 6-game winning streak this week. And Aaron Judge still continues to hit the ball. DJ LeMahieu, he's found his groove finally. You know, he kind of had a down season last year, but he seems to be back to where he used to be. So he's having a great season. But the Yankees pitching this week has really stepped it up, and they've become really surprising. So we'll see if the Yankees are able to maintain this throughout the entire season. But they're on fire right now. The Minnesota Twins are also on fire. They still have the longest winning streak in the league right now. They have 7-game winning streak. And Byron Buxton, he's having a great season. Their starting pitching is lights out at this point. So Minnesota Twins having a great couple of weeks. And then also the Miami Marlins are on a 5-game win streak right now. It's just always weird to see them winning. So I thought I'd mention it. And also the NL West still is on fire right now. My Giants are back on top of the NL West, at least today they are. You know, them, the Dodgers, the Rockies, and the Padres, they're all battling it out. They're all playing great baseball right now. And I have a feeling those 4 teams are going to appear in my top 10 MLB power rankings on Monday, because all 4 teams playing great baseball right now. So should be interesting to see where the NL West ends up going, because it's no longer just the Dodgers division. Hell, it's no longer just the Giants division. It is now a division where the Padres and the Rockies at least look competitive right now. And the Padres, they don't have Fernando Tatis right now. So they won't get him back until at least, I think, around the All-Star break. And who knows, it could even be later than that. But once they get him back, they're going to be something to fuck with. So that's basically what's going on in baseball this week. And with that being said, we're going to round out today's episode with one of my top 5 lists. And what inspired this one was actually not only the great collapse of the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs, but also with how shitty the Los Angeles Lakers were this year, too, because both those teams I would consider to be epic disappointments because of just the players, the caliber of players that they have playing for them. Just how disappointing they ended up being. I mean, they weren't even, they couldn't even compete with teams like the freaking Toronto Raptors and the Chicago Bulls and the Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, they should be up there with even at least those teams. And they would have probably got their asses kicked by those teams if you really think about it. So this week's top five list is the top five most disappointing NBA teams, all time. And not only were these teams disappointing just because of what was going into their very first season, but then also the epic collapses they had the following seasons and how they never, ever became anything. So let's go ahead and start this off with number five, the 2013-2014 New York Knicks. This was the season where they had Carmelo Anthony, Amare Stoudemire, Tyson Chandler, and J.R. Smith. Those were the highlighted players. You know, Carmelo was making his New York return. Same with Stoudemire. You know, he is coming off of a couple of microfracture surgeries, which actually you could tell he was coming off of those microfracture surgeries as soon as the season began, because basically Amare Stoudemire's New York Knicks career is non-existent because he spent it most of the time injured. And then same with Carmelo Anthony. He never shined. He never had any big moments as a New York Knick. You know, just they were such a disappointment. And especially in this first season, they ended up finishing 8 games below 500 and finished 9th in the Eastern Conference and didn't even make the playoffs. So they were such a disappointment. Like going into that season, they were favored as one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And they ended up being one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. And they actually never ended up being a legitimate team, and they ended up, you know, eventually trading Carmelo Anthony away. Like I said, Amare Stoudemire, his career was mostly spent injured, and then that it just collapsed and ended up going nowhere. All right, and then number four on my top five most disappointing NBA teams of all time, the 2006-2007 Dallas Mavericks. Now, this team actually was really damn good. I remember this team specifically just because I remember before the season began, because they were coming off of that loss to the Miami Heat in the finals the season before. And I just remember thinking this team was going to be really good. They were going to take that loss, and they were going to come back, and they were going to win the championship. And at first, it looked like that was going to happen. You know, Dirk Nowitzki actually won the MVP this year. This team also had Josh Howard, one of their just great defenders, and then Jason Terry. Jason Terry was so much fun to watch. Even though he played for the Dallas Mavericks, I actually really enjoyed Jason Terry's career. When he played for this team, man, he was one of their perennial players right behind Dirk. But this team actually ended up getting the number one seed overall. But the problem is once they hit the first round, they ended up becoming the first team in NBA history, number one seed, to lose to a number eight seed. They ended up losing to the Golden State Warriors. And no, this is not the Golden State Warriors you're thinking of today, you know, with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. No, this is the Golden State Warriors with Baron Davis and Steven Jackson. And don't get me wrong, I have great respect for both of those players, but that Golden State Warriors team was pretty much trash, especially compared to this Dallas Mavericks team. While the Mavericks would eventually go on to end up winning the NBA Finals, either the following season or a couple seasons later, regardless, they would end up winning the NBA Finals a few seasons later. I just thought this was one of the biggest collapses I've ever seen, just because of how good this Mavericks team was. I mean, they dominated the regular season, and Dirk Nowitzki, he had one of his best seasons ever. I mean, obviously he won the MVP, but I just remember it because Dirk was another guy too that I enjoyed his career, just because he had a completely different style of game, and he just was a great player to watch. So they were number four on my list. Number three on my top five most disappointing NBA teams of all time, the 2017-2018 Oklahoma City Thunder. This Thunder team had Russell Westbrook. He was coming off of his MVP season. Paul George was just traded to this team in the offseason. Carmelo Anthony was just traded to this team in the offseason. And then you had Steven Adams, too. He wasn't really known at the time, but this is when he made his name, was in this season. But And this team, the reason why they're on here is because going into this season, all we heard about as to how great this team was going to be. Well, basically, they were a dumpster fire. They barely made the playoffs, and they ended up losing to the Jazz in the first round. And basically, what this entire season was, especially come playoff time, was Russell Westbrook being a ball hog. And that's just his game. I have respect for Westbrook's game, but he can't play team basketball. He doesn't know how to play team basketball. And that's been obvious since the start of his career, at least in the NBA. And that was especially in the first round against the Jazz. He was just throwing up shots, just throw up shots. And there's even like certain shots of this game where you can see Carmelo like rolling his eyes like, dude, pass me the ball. And same with Paul George. Like, Paul George is one of the best shooters in the league. Pass him the ball. And Westbrook wouldn't pass anybody the ball. And basically, this team fell apart because of Westbrook's selfishness. And eventually, all of these players would end up to go on somewhere else. Westbrook, he's gone on to go to the Washington Wizards and then now the Lakers. So that just goes to show you how when teams are moving on from you that quick, you're not that good of a player. You're like, you're a good player, but nobody wants that headache. And then Paul George has moved on to the Clippers. And Carmelo, he's moved on to the Lakers. And Steven Adams is moving on to the Grizzlies. And this team never ended up being a good team. They never ended up gelling together. And it just ended up being a big dumpster fire. Then on my number two on my top five most disappointing NBA teams of all time, the 2012-2013 Los Angeles Lakers. This had Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol, Ron Artest, and then we picked up Steve Nash and Dwight Howard in the offseason. And this team was so hyped up in the offseason. And I remember, you know, like, because I had mad respect for Steve Nash, and I loved that we got Steve Nash. And this was also around the same time when we got screwed over out of the Chris Paul trade. I think that's what we were trying to do with Steve Nash. Is we were trying to hope that Steve Nash was going to replace not getting CP3. And so we end up getting Nash, but this is old Nash. And basically, Steve Nash spent his entire Laker career on the fucking bench because he was injured. And then Dwight Howard famously never got along with Kobe because Kobe Bryant is one of the hardest working basketball players of all time. And if you didn't match his level of intensity on the court, he would basically call you lazy and fat like he did Shaquille O'Neal, you know, one of the greatest centers of all time. So if he's going to give that to Shaq, you damn right he's going to give that to bitch-ass Dwight Howard. And at this time, Dwight Howard was a total bitch-ass. He thought his shit didn't stink. And he was not a Laker. As a matter of fact, I used to diss him all the time. I've even dissed him in music because of how shitty he was during the Lakers at this point in time. Now, I will say, when he came back his second time around and we won a championship with him in 2020, I will say I'm glad he grew as a person. But he could not handle Kobe Bryant. And basically, Kobe made him cry. I don't know if he really made him cry, but I'm sure he made him cry. And that was basically the problem is that, like, Dwight Howard never matched that type of intensity. He was never able to live up to the expectations of coming to L.A. And then also this same season, the first season, this entire year was on Kobe. And you knew that because I think it was, what, 10 games before the playoffs started, and we needed the wins. Kobe tore his Achilles in one of the games. And one of the reasons why he tore his Achilles is because he was averaging the highest amount of minutes in the league per game. So that means he was playing more than everybody. And this is the tail end of Kobe's career too. So while Kobe is one of the greatest of all time, this is what happens when you put everything on one player. And he ended up tearing his Achilles. And since Kobe is one of the greatest of all times, when he tore his Achilles, he went up to the free throw line, made the free throws, and then walked off the court and took care of that torn Achilles. But they did end up making the playoffs, but they were swept by the Spurs in the first round. And this team never ended up going anywhere. And it was a sad way to end Kobe's career. He would go on to play a couple more seasons, but this was basically the beginning of the end of that era. And really, the Lakers were shit all the way through up until the 2020 season. when we win a championship then, and now we're back to shit. So we'll see how that goes for the Lakers. But they are number two on my top five most disappointing NBA teams of all time. And now number one of my top five most disappointing NBA teams of all time would be the 1996-1997 Houston Rockets. This had Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Clyde Drexler as the main players. All Hall of Famers, all great players in their own right. Although at this point in time, they weren't all really in their prime. Kareem did have a great season this year. It just wasn't same Kareem. Charles Barkley didn't have a bad season. And same with Clyde Drexler. But they would have their ups and downs throughout the season. And especially with how heavily favored they were and with all the pressure that was on them, they just ended up finishing fourth in the Western Conference. And then they ended up losing the Western Conference Finals to the Utah Jazz. And then after that, they never went on to do a damn thing. They actually ended up, I think, 500 the following season. And then they just ended up going nowhere. So I had to put them at number one just because, Barkley, Hakeem, and Clyde Drexler, those are like some of the greatest names in basketball of all time. Now, obviously, Barkley went here because he was trying to win a championship, because that's the only thing Barkley has never, that's never happened for him in his entire career. So that's kind of what he was going for. But this team never ended up doing anything. This was the best season they had under this regime, but they just ended up never going anywhere. And they were definitely one of the biggest disappointments in NBA history. So that's my top five list for this week. We got the NBA playoffs this weekend. We got game six tonight between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So that could be closed out tonight. Then I believe the Eastern Conference semifinals begin on Sunday. And then we got the NFL draft tonight and tomorrow. And then you still got baseball on tap. So we've got a lot of sports going on this weekend. So enjoy the show, and I will talk to you foolios on Monday.